Welcome to another episode of the Christian Reeve Podcast. If you like this here show, make sure you leave us a review on Podchaser. Or, alternatively, if you're listening to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or elsewhere, please consider leaving a review and a rating.
If you're checking out the Christian Reeve Podcast on YouTube, make sure to like, share, and subscribe.
Also, if you want to support the show, why not check us out on patreon.com/Christian Reeve and get yourself exclusive bonus content and bonus podcast content. How about that?
Okay, I've had my fun. But seriously, if you want to support the show, it really, really helps us out. So thank you so much. And thanks again for listening.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Christian Reeve Podcast. Today's guest is an OnlyFans model and content creator. Her name is Charlotte Thomas. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I've been looking forward to this show because I feel like this is going to be a bit of a challenge for me, but also it's kind of the same as always. You know, it's trying to understand someone and their career and their life and how it all kind of comes together. I mean, that right off the bat, when I was sitting there kind of trying to figure out brand it, like what how do I refer, like, do you know what I mean? Like, because I'm guessing in everyday life you don't say like I'm an OnlyFans model. You'll probably say something like I produce mature content and I create content online. Let's start there. Like, how do you like brand yourself when you're trying to talk about your career and stuff?
Yeah, so it depends who I'm talking to be honest. I am not like embarrassed by it or anything, but at the same time I don't want to make other people uncomfortable. So for example, you know, I'm a mom, I'm often with mom friends and they go, oh, so what do you do for work? And I'm kind of like, ah, so how are we going to get into this? But I will normally say content creator, YouTuber, social media, and then if they kind of ask a bit more, and then I'll kind of, you know, put like, you know, adult content and just see how we kind of get into it and how kind of understanding they are. Typically, everyone that I've actually spoken to in person has been really supportive. I only ever get negative stuff online. But yeah, that's how I would typically start it. Social media stuff, content creator. And then it's normally that, well, how does that work? How do you get money from that? And I'm like, well,
This is the thing, and I said this to you off camera, like, this is the thing I've always been fascinated about. Because it's one thing like, okay, I'm going to make a little bit of this content, we'll see how it goes, You've made this your career, which I find that fascinating. I think that's amazing. Like, props to you, because you've been doing this years, and it's like, it's a process. Like, there would have been a point where you dabbled in this, and then you saw, like, okay, maybe we can turn this into something. And you did, and that's incredible. And like, now it's your career, and it's like, wow. Like, I mean, let's start at the decision making process for you deciding to start with that, because you're, if you don't mind me saying, you're married as well. Yeah. So I was like, oh wow. So there would have been a conversation where you would have sit down with your partner and gone, right, this is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And he would have been like, right. So like, let's start there. Like, how did this kind of start to become a thing, and then ultimately lead to you making the decision to become an adult content creator?
Yeah. So years ago when I was 19, I actually did a bit of live camming as well. I didn't enjoy that. It was really, really long hours for very minimal money. Like, you really don't earn much. But the reason I started even back then was because James worked full time. He was working like 60 hours a week. And so I was at home with our child. And once she was in bed, I was like, I could work now, but like, I can't leave the house. Because, you know, she's in bed. So I was like, I can just switch the computer on and I can do some camming. And I kind of presented it to him. I think he was always fine. He was like, yeah, that sounds like a great way to get some money, see if it works, kind of thing. We have our own kind of boundaries that we've developed. But yeah, I only did that for a few months and it just wasn't making any money. Oh, so my dog's just walked in.
That's okay. Join the party.
Yeah, I wasn't making any money. And so I did, well, I was making some, but very little. So I just left it alone. And then what happened was I started to do photography. So I launched a photography business in February 2020. And then March 2020, everything went into lockdown. So I couldn't pursue that anymore. Joined TikTok in like March 2020, saw that some girls were doing OnlyFans, and I was like, what is that? And like looked into it and I thought, oh, I could give that a go. So April 2020, I started launching my social media, said to James about it again, like, you know, there's this new website, well, let's give it a go. And he was like, yeah, sure, kind of thing. He was always on board as long as we kind of followed our personal boundaries. And then launched the OnlyFans in August and never looked back.
It's awesome to have like the support of a partner to that extent as well. Like, I know that's a kind of a given in a relationship, but like still, because it's not an easy thing, I imagine, to broach. Like, okay, like obviously, as you've outlined there, you've done like this sort of content before, so it's not like nothing new for you, but like, you know, there's other considerations, like you guys have a family and you got to think about that. Let's start there for a second actually as well. Because I was unsure about asking you this question, but I figured like this is an important question to ask. So this is something that you may not do forever. It'd be something that you do maybe like 5 years, 10 years, who knows, like however long you deem it, I don't know, profitable, fun, you know, all of the above. And you mentioned that like people in real life have always been really, really cool. Sometimes people online are horrible. I can relate. But there's always going to be criticisms. There's always going to be like difficulties. For instance, let's say your kids grow up and, you know, they, like other kids might find out that this is something that you've done in the past. They might get criticized for that. They might get problems. Now, before you answer, I'm going to say I liken it a lot to, like, for instance, finding out that someone's mother did modeling when they were younger, something like that. You know, I kind of see it the same way. But I wanted to kind of gauge, like, was that something that you guys considered and looked at and went, all right, how do we broach this? Like, talk us through that.
So it was definitely something we considered. We're not ignorant to that. But at the same time, it's like I needed to work. We needed a way that we could have an income, and the income that it's brought us has changed our kids' lives. And so I kind of think like, hopefully they can at least understand that when it gets to that point. That's kind of how we talked about it. And we just kind of thought, as long as we have the right conversations with our children, then they should be on the right path. So my oldest, she's actually 13. So she's coming to the age where she's wanting to go on social media and stuff now. And her friends are on social media. So we actually sat down and spoke to her about what it is that I do, because we would rather she found out from us than from her friends. And to be honest, she was really chill about it. I think at first, because it's a really difficult conversation to have with your teenager who doesn't even know that it exists. So you have to tell them that it exists, and not only does it exist, but that your mother does that for a living. So I think she was just kind of digesting the whole world of it, kind of thing, more than the fact that I didn't. And actually now she says that she's told her friends herself, again, I think for the same reason, that she would rather be like, this is what my mum does, rather than being approached with it. And she said that if anyone has an issue with it, then she doesn't want them to be her friend anyway. So
I'm kind of like, smart young lady there.
Yeah, I'm like, hopefully, as long as we have the right conversations, it would just have the right kind of thing in life. Do you know what I mean?
Like, absolutely. I agree. And I think another thing to add to this as well is that, like, this is a conversation, or sorry, this is a kind of a career that maybe like, say 5 years ago, 10 years ago, well, not 10 years ago, but like, it's something that's kind of, it's a new thing. It's still very new. And I would say there's been like an influx I've noticed in the last, say, 3 years or so. There's been a lot of people. For instance,
I think since COVID, to be honest.
Yeah. But it's also just like people, like I look at it very much from a business perspective. So for instance, I'm a big professional wrestling fan. Now, there's a lot of female wrestlers and many of them are extremely attractive. And a lot of them will, you know, I think they sometimes they tap into the fact that like they obviously have a very engaged fan base that, you know, is very much into like their how they look, you know, not just their wrestling ability, but how they look. And some of them choose to use that. And many of them have set up like OnlyFans accounts and stuff. And yeah, there's one who made way more than she ever did in her professional wrestling career, Mandy Rose. She's still wrestling, she's still doing her thing, but I think she made like $1 million in like a day or something. It was crazy. Wow. Yeah. And I just look at it like it's just business, really. And that's the thing, like, I think the normalization thing is key in this, because at one point, yeah, it was quite taboo. It was quite, and I think there's always going to be a little bit of that, because, you know, in society, everyone's got such very, very different perspectives on these things. Like, I always kind of look at it like, I think there's a place for that. And as long as it's like, you're kind of protecting audiences and stuff, like of certain ages, I mean, stuff like that, then do you know what I mean? There's no reason that it can't exist. And also it's just, then it just becomes like, well, this is just a type of content. And that's the thing, when you move past like the you know, the taboo side of it, and like how people can get uncomfortable with that and stuff, it really is just a form of just content creation.
And
that's something, for sure. Do you know what I mean? Like I've been looking into how different creators make this kind of content, and naturally I had to look at your content and investigate it for that, and that was strange, looking at a friend's content. And you know, I was talking to my girlfriend the other day and I was like, this is weird, this is but I had to do it for like research purposes. And I think the biggest thing that I kind of picked up on was two things. There's kind of like a role play type scenario thing and a constant dialogue conversation thing. So if we start with just like the general posts on, say, like Instagram or Twitter or whatever, like there's always a dialogue. So you'll post a photo, there'll be a pose of some description, and then you can tell I'm getting awkward with this. I always get awkward with conversations like this.
Okay.
But that's fine. But it's a dialogue. It's or an invitation. It's inviting people in. It's you imagining that you are with this person. Now, the thing that always kind of interests me about that is that like a lot of people will buy into that scenario. And you may remember years ago, there was the whole thing of like people being shamed for being simps, quote unquote. There was the whole thing of like you would subscribe to your favorite creator on like, say, Twitch. And you give them money, and you know, you would, from what I understand, almost imagine that like this is your girlfriend. And I don't know, it's I feel like that can be like a double-edged sword, because on one hand it can be a positive thing and it can be a fun thing for both parties. On the other side, it can be problematic, because you know, these people have real lives. I mean, for instance, Pokimane, she had a boyfriend, and when she revealed that, lots of negative backlash.
Right.
And that was interesting to me, because I was thinking, well, what did you expect, though? Like, this isn't, you can't, first of all, you can't buy someone off. I mean, that's not the type of person you want to be with, if you can. And secondly, like, that's never going to happen. Like, you're donating to this person. So it's no different to any other type of, like, content creation. You don't owe anything. I think this is like an entitlement issue, is what I'm trying to allude to. Do you know what I mean? There's a sense of like, if I give you money, I deserve X, Y, and Z. But it's like, well, you don't have to give the money. and it doesn't like guarantee you anything. Can you just speak to that a little bit, like as far as your experiences with, let's say, like the demands or wants or desires of your audience, and how you've learned to kind of navigate that?
Yeah, so I think for me, from the offset, I'm very open about being married already, and that James is often involved. He's often in a lot of posts. He's involved in the OnlyFans content. So I think for anyone to kind of be under the illusion that we, like, I feel like it would be quite difficult to put yourself in that position to think that we were something more, because you can see that I am married straight away. And I kind of, it is a transaction, if you know what I mean. Like, I think I am typically more friendly with those who tip well, because obviously I'm gonna be, you deserve a bit more attention, but that doesn't mean that I'm kind of calling them on the phone or give them my personal number or anything like that. I don't know, I haven't experienced it so much. I don't know if that's just because I'm so open from the start about the fact that I'm already married and that this is just kind of fun online. I don't know.
So when you first started doing this, immediately you made that clear. Is that what you're saying?
No, in the very beginning, I didn't say that I was married, but I think within 2 months I'd said that I was married. It might have even been less than that. I did kind of, I had a few people asking. Basically, if anyone asked me if I was married, I would say, yes, I am married. And if they say, are you single? I'd say, no, I'm not single. But I wasn't like, I'm married on my social media, if that makes sense. But now I'm just like, yeah, I'm married.
Did you ever notice a decline in followers when that was made clear?
No, I don't think so. And again, it was quite early on. I can't remember exactly when it was. I think it was actually, people were more negative about it if they asked if I was single or married, and I'd say I am married, and then people would go, well, you should have said that. And so I'm like, okay, cool, so I'm just going to be open with it from the start.
Do you ever find people, I mean, there must be people that kind of overstep the mark a little bit, and like, how have you approached that? Because obviously all you can really say is, well, you know, I'm sorry if we're under any illusion of what this is, but you know, it's content, you can take or leave it, really. I mean, I imagine that would be the conversation, but like, how did you navigate that?
Like I said, I haven't had too much. I think I just stop it before it starts. So if I find someone is becoming quite like needy, then I will actually try and take a step back. And because I don't want you to, like, I feel like I have a responsibility to protect your emotional state as well with this. So if I find that someone is becoming quite needy or quite like, I don't know, there's like little signs, you know, and I'm kind of like, okay, I'm just going to take a step back and I'm going to kind of give you shorter answers for a little bit. And then we can pick it back up in a couple of weeks when you've calmed down a bit.
That's sensible. Yeah, it must be quite daunting as well, because I imagine you get like a lot of people messaging you, and many of them, as you say, are probably quite forward, shall we say, with their responses. And that must be a lot. I mean, do you ever, does it sort of take its toll on you, like mentally sometimes? Like, I don't know.
It can, but not about what people or like the amount of people that are messaging me so much. It's more it's actually, so sometimes in the last 4 years I've struggled with my personal life, intimate life, because I kind of have gone through phases where I feel like I can't enjoy things with just James, and I feel like I have to, oh my god, I should be filming this. And it's like, that's a really bad mindset. Do you know what I mean? Like, I should be able to enjoy my husband without being like, oh my god, I need to film this. And that's something I've gone through in phases, but I'm out of that now, I think. I think that's what kind of took its mental toll a bit. But regarding the actual messages and stuff, not so much. That's always been okay. There's been a couple where people will be, I'm quite like sensitive to criticism. And there's been some people that will message, I think it must be an attention thing, but they'll message me negative things, even though they've subscribed and have been subscribed for like a year. And they'll be like, oh yeah, so your content's really crap now. And I'm like, I don't think that's true. And then they'll just like keep pushing. And then if I kind of go, I'm just not going to accept this anymore. And then they go, oh no, I'm really sorry. Your content's amazing. And I'm like, okay, so I feel like you just wanted a bit of extra attention or something, like, but I can find that really hard, especially because I don't feel like it's warranted, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't feel like they actually mean it, so I'm like, why are you doing this?
Don't you find it so childish as well? Like, that's literally something that like a 5-year-old would do, like just be mean to like, I don't know, someone they fancy in the playground, and then, well, lo and behold, now they've got their attention. Like, it's just ridiculous. And these grown-ass adults doing this, I just, it blows my mind.
But to be fair, in the,
No, go on, please, continue.
I was just going to say that in the 4 years of doing, well, nearly 4 years, I have only blocked, I think, 3 or 4 people.
Wow.
So, like, out of thousands of people, they're most of the time they're really lovely. There's just the occasional few that will just be a bit mean for no reason, and I'm like, I'll give them a couple of chances, and then if it gets to the point where, because I'll start to like dread opening the messages, because I'm like, oh, there's going to be a message from that person, and I'm like, you know what, we need to block this person now, like, it's not worth it.
It's fair enough. There was a few things in there that you were talking about that I wanted to pick up on. So you mentioned how it's kind of affected your intimate life and stuff like that. Now, I don't want to pry too much here. There's a reason why I'm asking about this. One thing I've noticed over the years is that, like, obviously we change, like, as people, you know, and I think when we're in long-term relationships as well, because we're changing as people, the relationship has to change too, and it has to evolve. That's one way I look at it. Do you ever thought or think that maybe this is an evolution style thing? I mean, like, for instance, I did some content a month or two back, and I learned about a new term that I'd never even heard of before, a throuple. So it's a type of like polyamorous relationship. Point is, there are new emerging styles of relationships and stuff like that. I'm seeing couples that I've known for years now opening up their relationships and stuff to, you know, do you ever think that maybe it's just more kind of like you guys are evolving and it's that maybe?
Well, in terms of open, like having the OnlyFans, like, and sharing that part of our life.
More so you guys as a couple, because like I mentioned, like you change over time, and like with you exploring this part of yourself, you know, you're going to discover things about yourself, and things might change. Like, say in 5 years, the things that you like now might be different, you know, because we always change. You know, I could say that like me 10 years ago and what I was interested in and how I live my life, very different from who I am now. And I imagine in 10 years, it'd be very different. And I think that what I'm trying to say is that I think the same logic applies to our preferences with certain things. So I just wondered, like, if that's something that you're seeing maybe, or maybe it's more like a case of evolution rather than like a problem. You know?
Yeah. I don't know, really. I feel like for us, so this, in terms of the OnlyFans side, it's not something that we would do if I wasn't being paid for it, if that makes sense. Like, it's not something that we're not exhibitionists or whatever. We're not. So I think in terms of like evolution for us, I don't think we would have gone down this path anyway. Is that the question?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said before, I think you're tapping into something and you're discovering things. Like, for instance, you did a collab, I think earlier this year, with a female content creator. So there would have been a discussion there, and like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to go about this? Now, I don't know to what extent, like, your content was, because I'm not subscribed or anything, but like I saw mm-hmm. some of the promo stuff for it, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. Like, how's this work? And you also, you mentioned that you've done content with your partner. So you've brought him into that side of things. So it's like, I look at it as exploration, I guess. But I guess my point with this is it's like, when you're having those conversations, like, I guess you just have to kind of keep having the conversation and just sort of figure it out.
Yeah, definitely,
as you go along.
Keep the conversations open. But again, even with the female creator, I wouldn't have met her if I wasn't being paid for it. It's not something that is just in our relationship. We're quite comfortable, just the two of us. Not that I, because I don't personally agree that humans are naturally like monogamous. I think that's something that's kind of happened just because it's easier in society, if you know what I mean. But we've chosen to be monogamous.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have done things. With the female creator, it was, we did have a lot of conversations about it, but James has always been comfortable with me collaborating with other females. He wouldn't want me to collaborate with another male. And at the same time, I just don't even see why I would, because I have a male to collaborate with in my videos already, if you know what I mean. Whereas obviously there is like a certain type of content that I just can't provide if I don't collaborate with other females. But to be honest, my anxiety is so bad. We had a very basic collaboration, and I don't know if I'm going to do it again.
Not your thing.
It was like, it was good. And I earned a lot of money from it, just for even what it was. But I'm such an anxious person.
I get it. I mean, it's not, I don't think any of this is really an easy thing. And I think the thing that always kind of fascinates me is that a lot of the people I've seen do this over the years have been quite introverted people as well. And you're having to do something that's quite, takes a lot of guts, man. Takes a lot of confidence, self-confidence to put yourself out there and try these different things. And I think that's ironically actually works in your favor, because it's like, it's a draw. Like, human beings are drawn to confidence. So, you know, that's part of it. But it's, man, I get it. It's a lot. And it's interesting seeing different types of couples, you know, and how they work with these things. I've seen big like celebrities doing this sort of stuff where like they let someone sleep with their wife or something, and I'm like, wow, well, that's not something I would do, but like, I get it, I understand. Like, there's different types of couples, and if you're comfortable with that, then fine. And you see the reaction online, people mock them, they're like, ho ho ho, and they say things like cuck and all that, and it's like, but like,
oh yeah,
at the end of the day, like, if you guys are happy and you know, your relationships are going well, and you know, you're having these conversations, then it, quite frankly, it's really no one's business, to be honest.
Exactly. Yeah, no, but, for sure.
But it's just interesting to me, like how to approach that and just kind of keep it within the realm of what's come. I think the key is always to kind of focus on those conversations, like you said, and not worry so much like what society's saying or what people are saying online or whatever. Like, at the end of the day, it's a form of content, and as long as you look at it like that, you know, business, it's never really going to be an issue, you know.
Yeah, well, that's how it is for us. And a lot of people always kind of say to me, oh, like, what got you into OnlyFans and stuff, and I'm just like, money. Like, sorry, but
yeah, fair enough.
Easy hours, because like, it's completely flexible. I can work when I'm free. It was in COVID. I was trying to launch a photography business and that didn't work, and it ended up making me more money than any other job ever has. So I'm not about to give it up, and it's the most flexible job I've ever had. Like, I can just work when I want. Obviously, that doesn't mean I can just not work. I have to work to make money, but I can completely choose my hours. But then at the same time, there's the other side of that, and I'm sure you probably feel this too with your content creation, in that you could always be doing something. And like, so I feel like I can't switch off, because I'm sat there and I'm like, I could be on a TikTok live right now, I could be doing this right now. And it's like, yeah, but just because you work from home and your hours are flexible doesn't mean you don't deserve time off.
dangerous, isn't it? Like, I totally can relate to that. Yeah, like, because that's the problem. Yeah, if you're self-employed, if you work for yourself, there's never not a moment that you can be working, and like, it's dangerous, man. I remember, I do acting, voice acting, right? I use my voice for everything. There was a point last year where I was off sick for like a week, where I couldn't speak. I had to go to hospital because I couldn't breathe properly. Oh. Yeah, I had like a lung problem. Okay. And I couldn't do anything. I was miserable. I was just sat on a sofa, just I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, couldn't drink, couldn't talk, like everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it was amazing because it made me realize two things. One, screwed without my voice. Oh my God. Two, you need to rest. Need to chill out, man, to find time to relax and actually, you know, just be and do things and enjoy life, and that not every waking second has to be about doing these things. Like, I try to find the time week to week where I can rest and just sit, binge watch The Office or something, you know. It's just but it's not easy. Like you say, you're always on. Like, I imagine this is no different to any other form of art, in the sense that, like, sometimes maybe you just randomly have an idea and you're like, oh, I could do that. But maybe it's not the most convenient time to do that. But then, I don't know. And then, like, do I have the setup? And then,
Yeah, for sure. That is a big thing. Finding, because I definitely have more ideas than I have time to kind of put out. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, for sure. But so in the beginning, the first kind of year, I would say, I was very bad because my work is often on my phone. I can do a lot of the work from my phone, so my screen time is just like off the charts. But I'm like messaging. I was like making sure I messaged everybody back on Instagram, even if they like haven't subscribed and stuff. And I would just spend hours and hours and hours on my phone. And obviously, people used to get quite, that's something I have found, people used to be really demanding on my time. So they would be like, where are you? I haven't seen you in like 4 hours. And I'm like, come on, like, I have a life as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay, you can't expect me to be a 24 hours a day.
Yeah, let's back up a second. So when you say like demanding responses, like what, on Instagram, on OnlyFans?
No, everyone on OnlyFans has always been very, well, pretty much everyone on OnlyFans has been very respectful of my time. It's always on Instagram. People get very frustrated with me.
I'm just a bit confused by this, because like, we're demanding that you respond straight. Like, okay, if we're talking the standard old argument of instant messaging and like, oh, why didn't you WhatsApp me quick enough? It's like, well, I'll WhatsApp you when I'm free, fucker. Like, you can wait. that's bizarre to me. What? Like,
yeah.
I mean, anything I can think is like, there's a proposition there maybe, and they're itching for you to accept it or something. But like, I don't get that. That feels very entitled. Yeah.
To be honest, it's always the ones that kind of, I don't mean to be mean, but it's always the ones that don't pay anything that are always the most demanding. I put up a sale, say, and I've got like 50% off, I very rarely do them anymore. I used to do them at the beginning because that's what everybody did. But anyone that joined from the sale, a lot of them would be very demanding. They would join for the minimum amount of money and expect the most back. And I'm like, I can't do this.
I noticed the same problem when I first started doing content on Patreon. I used to, my approach was always, and it still is, to kind of give people maximum value for their money.
Oh,
right?
For sure, yeah.
But like, I realized I was giving this big ass show that I'm working really hard on every month away for like a dollar. And I was like, it's a lot. I don't know. And there wasn't much differentiation between the tiers on there. And I've boiled it down, and I think I've got something that's somewhat reasonable now, where it's like $1 gets you in just kind of small videos, a little bit of a taster. $3 gets you access to the Discord community, so you're part of a community and there's loads of stuff in there. And then $5 gets you the show and other bonus stuff. And like, that took the better part of maybe 2.5 years to like get that figured out and a fair offering. But when I changed that, lost a bunch of people. because they were just really, not willing to pay that. And I'm like, I understand it, and you know, thanks guys, and see you later. But it's like, yeah, there is a lot of demanding, you know. And I remember one time I had someone comment on one of my Instagram posts, and I always bring this up because it irks me. They were like, I was posting and promoting my stuff for Patreon, like my monthly show, and they were like, mm-hmm. Well, I'll just wait for all the free stuff. You know, I can't afford to pay for any of that. Oh, I don't want to pay for any of that. And I'm like, well, it's not for you. Like, you know, I understand that, like, not everyone has the money for these things. That's fine. But I'm still going to promote them. I'm not just going to make everything free just because you, this one person, demanded that it's all free. And mm-hmm. and I, do you know, I feel like as well, there. It's one thing if you don't have the money, that's absolutely fine. I understand. I'm skint as well. I get it, man. But mm-hmm. like when people are like, oh, yeah, I would never, that's way too much money. I'd never pay that. And then, mm-hmm. you know, you see the way that they use their money for other things and you're like, oh, okay. So it's, you know.
Yeah, it's just about where I think this is, that's definitely something that's relevant for me as well. And my biggest competitor is free. So it's like, it is hard because I have to sell something that people can get for free. Obviously, you don't get the same kind of interaction and engagement with the free stuff. Like, you just kind of put the video on or whatever, and then that's it. Whereas with...
when you say your biggest competitor is free, what do you mean by that? Like,
the orange and black website?
You say it. Okay, porn websites.
So yeah. Okay. They're like free.
All right. That's an interesting point. Because I mean, it's that was okay. That right there was the first thing I thought when I first heard about like OnlyFans as a concept and subscription based mm-hmm. models. I was like, why on earth would you pay when you could just mm-hmm. look at porn?
You know? Yeah, for sure. I think it is just about wanting to see a particular person a bit more. And obviously, you also get the. Because you subscribe and you get one-to-one direct messaging with me, which I don't really use the sites myself, but I don't think you get that from the free sites. I don't think you get to message the models kind of thing. So that's a part of it. I can't remember how we got to this now. We were talking about pricing, weren't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's all kind of mixed within the same thing. I imagine that like everyone has to kind of find their own, what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, like it's very easy to sit and go, oh well, you know, you should try this model because this is what works for everyone. It's like, but it might not work for you, you know. I found something that works for me, because, and I could charge more for that. I could charge like £15 a month for my show, but I think it makes a lot more sense to make something a lot more affordable,
mm-hmm.
and that attracts more people, and that then kind of makes a case for you being able to potentially make more from it. Now it's hard though. It's my Patreon's lost more subscribers than it's gained, but it's hard, man. It's hard, but it's always a learning process. And I think to a certain extent, you have to stick to your guns,
mm-hmm.
you know, like with what you do, I can tell from what you've said that like, you've not bowed from the pressure of what people have said. I'm sure people have said like, oh, you should make this cheaper, or you should make this specific content free.
A lot of people ask for free trials and stuff, and they're like, can I have a free trial just to see, and then I'll subscribe? And I'm like, no.
Well, like, yeah, because that's the thing, isn't it? Like, it's, then they get access to everything, and then what's the point? Why bother?
And then I don't think they're going to subscribe at the end of it. Do you know what I mean?
But go on.
I was just gonna say, I have done free trials, so I have a free OF and a paid OF.
Mm-hmm.
So the free one is like, every video, whatever, is pay per post, so you have to unlock each video, so it ends up actually working out a lot more expensive. Whereas the paid one, I don't do any paid content individually. You pay your $15 and then you're in and you see everything, like 800 videos. I think there's over 800 videos, over 1,500 photos for $15, whereas you go on the free one and you get in for free, but then you have to pay like $8 per video. And so obviously
that was
a lot.
Do you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of, like, this is such a weird reference, but Sky Box Office.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember you used to have to pay for, like, pay-per-view, like, I don't know, it's like £20 to watch, like, this movie or fight or whatever. Whereas if you just pay monthly, then it's like way cheaper.
Yeah, that's it. That's just the thing. And I would rather have more. And it, to be honest, anytime I post a video on the free one, I'm like, you can buy this one for $8 or you can go and subscribe and you get everything. Like, you're better off over there. Because, and even on the free one, you have to, I've changed now. I didn't have it like this for years, but you have to tip me to even be able to message me on the free one. Because I was on, every time I went on the free one, I would have loads of messages, but all from people that haven't, like, because I can click on them and it will tell me their, like, details, or not their details, but, like, it will tell me how much they've paid and stuff. And so I'd click on them and they would be like, they've paid zero, they've paid zero, they've paid zero. And I'm like, I can't give you all of my time. So now on the free one, you even have to tip me to even message me, whereas on the paid one, you don't have to do that. Like, it's the same situation where I think you get a lot more for your money. I charge a lot less. Well, I think the monthly subscription is about average for what other models, but a lot of other models will do a lot more, like paid content even on the paid one. So you pay to get in and then you have to pay to see the videos on top.
Jesus. Whereas I don't,
yeah. And some people charge like $50 a video. And they do really well. I'm not shitting on them. They do amazing. But I just don't have the stamina for the sales for that as well. And you have to push a lot more. And I would rather just be like, hey, guys, welcome in. Like, do you know what I mean? And I feel like I'd rather have more people paying less, like you said, than less people paying more.
Let's look by the numbers. I mean, we've had a bit of a snapshot there. 800 videos, thousands of pictures. How much on average do you reckon that you're content-wise you're creating
Definitely used to make a lot more in the first couple of years, whereas I feel like now I've got such a backlog that if you subscribe you get so much content already that I've definitely relaxed a little bit about how much content I'm putting out every week now. But I would say a video a week now, and then I don't know if I post like a photo every day, but about that. And then and if throughout the week, there'll be like a couple of little like short videos that are just like, I do silly little ones. I don't know how much I can say on your podcast, but like where I'll clean my mirror, but I won't be wearing anything. It's just like a silly little video like that. You know, I just chuck that up for a bit of a laugh. it's just stuff like that now.
I mentioned off camera that I would ask you about like weird requests, and we'll get into a little bit, but I will kind of ask about like, is there any like just silly or absurd shit where someone's been like, hey, could you do like a picture of this? And you're like, okay, if you want. Like,
yeah. So there's been some I just feel really bad charging for, because they're like, they're so like normal. And I'm like, are you sure you want to pay for that? But obviously, yeah, I'm going to do that. But
go on. Name me your silliest one. There's got to be one.
Okay, so I'm not kink shaming at all.
No,
I love
no.
It, you know, but piggyback. They wanted me to give James a piggyback, like hold him on my back. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. And not naked or anything.
That's just weirdly wholesome.
Yeah, I was like, cool, I'll do that. But to be honest, I don't get many like that. It's normally just your standard stuff.
Okay. What's like the weirdest ever request you've ever had across any social media or, you know, OnlyFans? Maybe even stuff that you had to just refuse because it was ridiculous or just,
yeah, well, I have to refuse a lot of stuff. Well, not a lot, but some things, because the OnlyFans just don't allow it anyway. But it's always toileting stuff.
Ugh.
Yeah. Each to their own. But yeah, that's often one that I get requested for both toileting habits. And
would you say you get requested a lot for that, or is it just like no?
So not very often. But also I'm just kind of like, I just go, I'm not allowed. Like, it's against the terms and guidelines anyway.
That's interesting. Some
websites do allow it.
But yeah, it's interesting that they ban it on there. I wonder why.
Yeah, they're actually quite strict as a platform compared to a lot of the other adult sites. A lot of the other ones are a lot more like kink friendly, but OnlyFans is a bit more strict. Basically, they have banned words as well, which is related to the content. And so they'll kind of write it in a way where they have to like put numbers instead of letters and stuff. And I'm like, if it's a banned word, I can't do it. Like,
oh, weird. Okay. What are some of the banned words that you're not allowed to say?
Blood, torture, choke. And okay. Then, yeah, the toilet in ones.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I get maybe that's to do with like not wanting to incite or promote violence, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't. I've had a lot of my photos taken down on OnlyFans because I was laid in bed with my eyes closed, and that's like it's implied that I'm sleeping, I guess. And then that goes into your whole like non-consent because if somebody's sleeping or whatever. But I'm
Oh,
like,
wow.
but I've took the picture. But yeah. I've even had those taken down.
When it comes to, you know, your strategy across different platforms, like this is something I picked up on straight away, is that the approach is always different. And of course, you know, it would be anyway with any form of content, you'd have to approach it a bit differently, but it's like drastically different. So I'll give a bit of a rundown and then you can just pick and choose what you want to say with regards to these. But like I noticed on Instagram, it's pretty straightforward. It's what I mentioned earlier. It's a picture, maybe an invitation or like a question or a small interaction, something like that. Reddit and Twitter, it's like the Wild West, man. It's just straight. I wasn't prepared for that because when I was doing my my research, I was like, okay, hello, Charlotte.
Yeah,
wow.
There it is.
Yeah. And that's interesting that those platforms are like not strict at all on that at all. Like Instagram, you get banned like that, count taken down. But Reddit and Twitter, no problem. Just post whatever you want. But the numbers wise, you do very well. Creators do exceptionally well on Reddit and Twitter for that type of content. With regards to TikTok, it seems like you follow a similar thing to Instagram, but it's a lot more, I'd say it's a bit stricter. I know that you've had accounts banned previously. And whenever I've kind of seen glimpses of your content, I've never seen anything that I thought was something to be banned. I think like a lot of it's innuendo or quite light, to be honest.
I get quite frustrated because I see a lot on TikTok that's a lot worse than mine. But I always get banned for minor. So basically they don't think I'm old enough to have TikTok. It's so annoying. They're like minor safety. And I've had to send in ID to prove my age. And I still get banned. And I've been banned off lives for being too young. You have to be what, 16 to go live, 18 to go live?
I think so, something like that.
Yeah, and they say you're not old enough to go live. And I'm like, I know I look young for my age, but you can see that I'm, you know, old enough to have a TikTok account. But that's why I get banned. It's so frustrating. And yeah, I see so much worse out there.
What's the function of you doing TikTok lives as far as your content strategy? Because everything else seems very clear. It's like, okay, here's me. Here's a little bit of what to expect. If you want something a bit curtailed to you, want interactions with me, subscribe to the OnlyFans. Seems like a pretty straightforward model. With TikTok, the videos obviously serve the same purpose, but the live streams, it's just you talking to people. Now, I understand part of that is you just enjoy doing live streams. So do I. It's fun. But like from a marketing advertising perspective, like what's your goal with doing those live streams? How does that actually help you?
Yeah, so I think with the TikTok lives, that's my biggest earner. And I think that the market is saturated, right? With all very attractive ladies doing things better than I can with clothes or dancing or whatever. Like, you know, this is such a saturated market. But I think that this is a bit of an ego thing, but I'm just a nice person who kind of speaks well. Like, I have a nice voice, and I think that a lot of people just like me for that, and that I'm just like a nice normal girl. And you see some people's lives with that do the same job as me, and it's very obvious, Whereas, yeah, mine isn't so much. I think a lot of people join my lives because they'll find me through a live and then they'll go and look at my videos and come back and be like, oh my goodness, I wasn't expecting that. And I'm like, yeah. and the same like with Twitter, people will go, oh my gosh, I just looked at your Twitter and I was not expecting that.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? It's when you go down the rabbit hole, that's what you're going to discover. But then at the end of the day, it is just form of content. And, you know, I immediately always kind of look at what it's trying to achieve, what it's trying to, you know, do. It's telling a story. It's much the same as any other type of content. It's telling a story and it's trying to lure you in from that side of things, from the sexual side of things, sexual desire. Seems pretty straightforward. You said something there that was really interesting. TikTok's your biggest earner. So through TikTok live gifts or through...
Oh, no, sorry. I mean, like, in the conversion. So if I go on a TikTok live, I'll immediately get subscriptions on OnlyFans.
Wow. Okay. As it said, yeah. So as soon as people were there, they're chatting with you, they're like, subscribe. So literally, you're kind of using that as leverage to kind of, like, push people over there. But I'm getting...
Yeah, it's like a funnel system.
That's interesting. Do you... One problem I find, and Vilma's always saying this to me, is that, like, Christian, stop saying these words. You'll get banned for saying, say, Patreon or YouTube. You can't say any outside platforms. Now, I would imagine you definitely can't say OnlyFans in a live stream on TikTok. So how exactly do you push people there? Do you just say link in bio?
So I don't even say that, really. I have you can get these stickers now, and because I'm not allowed to put your link in it, but I basically put Charlotte TX with a space co space UK, and I just have that on the live, like on the screen. And so anytime anyone asks anything, I'm just kind of like, it's here, like, kind of hovering over the sticker, or, you know, it's in my... I say Instagram all the time. I say Twitter all the time. I say YouTube. I haven't found that's had a negative impact on me personally. Obviously, I have had accounts banned, but, like, it's never in relation to that. And sometimes I've got like 400 viewers and I'm talking about YouTube and it's fine. And I think, like, I was watching your live recently and you were saying that, of course, everyone's going to have different apps. You can't say that I'm TikTok exclusive. It's just not gonna happen,
which is boring, isn't it, to just only use the one app. I mean, like, yeah. I think TikTok can be great for certain things, but I don't want to spend all of my waking hours on it.
No. I think the problem with TikTok is you follow someone and it's the best way to never see them again.
100%. Yeah, as soon I do as you not follow, understand
they
that.
Leave.
That's everywhere though. That's not just TikTok. Yeah. Like, I mean, really? TikTok actively will, pretty much punish you for it, so, like, thanks for that, guys. But yeah, like, it's the same on Instagram. There's just no reach there. People follow you, like, stories still work. Stories are a good way to get shit out.
Yeah, I like the Instagram stories a lot.
Pictures don't do nothing though. I don't know. No. For me personally, I don't know, I've found it's not...
Yeah, they don't go anywhere. It only goes to... But I feel like it does go to the people that follow me. But I don't, it does. I don't find that I get many new, because I've put polls on OF being like, so where did you first find me? And I have had a couple of people find me from Instagram. I've got no idea how, but it's not very many. And yeah, most are from TikTok, a couple from Reddit. But to be honest, I have a Reddit and it's open because I'm not going to delete it, but I don't know how to use Reddit. I don't understand it. It's been there for a long time. I think I've posted maybe like 10 things on there. I just don't, get it.
I feel like, you know, you're using Twitter and it's more effective for you than Reddit anyway, because it's basically the same principle with those two types of content. It's like, here's a picture, here's an idea of what I'm doing, want more, subscribe, and boom, the link, and, you know, it's pretty straightforward.
Some people say they do really well on Reddit because they have, basically the forums, is it, or the groups, and it will be like /OnlyFans girls, and then you can apply to post in that group or something. And then everyone that would follow that would be looking for OnlyFans girls or whatever. So it's a really cool thing to get into if you could understand it, but I just can't get my head around it. And there's so many rules. Each forum like has their own rules, and there's some that they won't let you post unless it's like explicit. And I'm like, well, I don't want to post explicit like every time, like I, because that's something that you have to pay for. So I feel like if I put too much up for free, then that's actually gonna,
well,
you know, impact.
This is another thing as well, like, just I always wondered from a business perspective, like, less is more, is it not, with
yeah.
regards to sex? Like, I mean, yeah. If you just give it away all for free, then I mean,
why
that's...
are they gonna subscribe? I just don't get that. No,
well, yeah, but then that's, see, that's the thing as well. People subscribe to your OnlyFans, they're going to see you naked, right?
Yeah.
In many different pictures and videos, etc., right?
Yeah.
But then they still subscribe for a long time, maybe years even.
Yeah.
And that is perhaps the most fascinating aspect of it to me, because it's like, okay, you've seen everything, you've seen all of this, why are you still subscribed? And I think part of it, from what I've understood, is the interaction style of things. Part of it's what you said before about you want to see a specific person. But then the other side of it is there's just like this, I don't know, this element that I can't quite put my finger on, but lots of people seem to just be really hooked in with like a particular person. I don't know.
Yeah, I've had a lot of people that have, I've got, yeah, from the beginning, basically. I've still got people that subscribe and have been from the beginning. And there's a lot that have been with me like for more than a year. Like, I think more than 100 have been with me for more than a year. Like, I look at the number, because I was like, oh, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to say a really nice thank you to anyone that's been with me for over a year. And I was like, this list is actually too long. Like, I'll be here all day. So yeah, it's kind of, I want to be really like grateful and send them my gratitude. At the same time, I'm like, I just can't, there's too many. So I don't
it,
know
thank
quite
you.
The, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I have done that a few times. I've sat down, and I do just spend the day doing it. But yeah, it's kind of blows my mind how many people, because then that does start to make you feel quite good, if you know what I mean. You're like, oh.
What do you enjoy most about producing mature content?
I don't know, because I say, to be honest, I wouldn't do it if I wasn't being paid. So it's not like I don't enjoy it, but at the same time, it's not like, oh, I'm gonna make a video today. Like, inside, I don't necessarily feel that. I think that the only way I can answer that is to say that my favorite part about the job is that I get the full flexibility, and it works around my life really, really well. But in terms of actually making the mature content, I don't like have a specific thing, if that makes sense.
Has it improved like your self-confidence, belief in yourself, maybe the way you feel about how you look and stuff like that?
Yeah, so I guess it has done that, but it kind of goes in waves at the same time, because you know when you get that drop in numbers and then you're like, oh my gosh,
I'm getting old.
Or I'm obviously, I just don't have it anymore. Or maybe I genuinely start to think that maybe I've put on too much weight. Maybe my hair's not very nice. And like,
wow.
I start to think things like that. So then I'm like, oh, I really need to get fit again, or I really need to do this. And my TikTok views are really low. So I'm obviously just not, you know, I'm not wearing the right things. And so it goes like this. And then when it's up, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I'm like, oh my gosh. but it definitely, I think, so what's something really interesting is that before I started doing OnlyFans, I've never been like shy sexually, but at the same time, it's like, am I normal? Is this what people, like, do other people do this kind of thing? Because obviously it's so like shushed and no one really can talk about it, like amongst friends or whatever, you just don't talk about it. And so when I started doing OnlyFans, I started to like look at porn for the first time. And so that was actually really encouraging for me to post that kind of stuff more, because I was like, oh, it's actually kind of normal. Like, everyone's doing it. Do you know what I mean? Not everyone might film it, but you know, it's not like I'm the only person in the world that has a sex life.
No, and it's like a really good point that we touched on earlier as well, that it's really has changed as far as like normalization. I think one thing that I think is really cool is I'm noticing a lot more women going for it, even older women are going for it a bit more, and they're noticing that there's a market for that. Like, hey, why not? Like, why not use this? This is useful. Maybe I can be good at this. Maybe I can use this to earn a living. And I've always been team four. I know there's a lot of people online that'd be like, oh, that's such bullshit, man. Like, what way to make money? Like, hey, listen, any way to make money, I think, as long as it's legal and doesn't hurt anyone, is great. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I will forever be impressed by it. I mean, that you make a killing for what you do. I've been trying to do this for like 5 years and I suck. You know what I mean? I barely ever get any subscribers, and I've been trying so hard. Like, it's a
I
hard
think it
game.
is
It's hard.
annoying that women, well, not just women, because men are doing it as well, but as soon as you put sex onto the like advertising or sexual, like it is just kind of an easier pass, if that makes sense,
It's
into ticking
just
up
human
numbers.
psychology, isn't it? It's like the old advertisement thing. You put sex in the title or sex on the advert,
Or
and it, yeah,
perfume
it'll get.
adverts, whatever, hair, shampoo, it's all,
Exactly, yeah. I mean, that's and I accept that. That's not like, but at the same time, like, I think in a way that attitude sometimes does a disservice to people that are creating it. Like, there's a lot of people doing this type of content, but not necessarily well or effectively.
Yeah, that is true. I do, it does frustrate me when people say that it isn't a job or whatever, because it's like it is sales as well, and it's like it's hard to get followers even if you're even if it's for free. So actually it's kind of a testament as at the same time to be like, I've made money. Like I'm selling a subscription and my biggest competitor is free. So like it is
I will say, I'll say now, yeah, I'm on. It angers me when people say it's not a job, because look, same for just content creation in general. You want to be a content creator, guys, or make adult content, you got to be a salesman, you got to be a marketing expert, you got to be a videographer, a photographer, you got to be a customer service rep, you got to be like, fucking, there's so
Yeah,
much
for
shit
sure.
you got to do that people are just like, oh, that's easy, I could just sit and record videos. And it's like, yeah, maybe you could, but like, to like have sustained subscriptions over a long period of time, and make, that's hard. That's, you got to win people over constantly, and you've also not got to bow to pressure, which is hard. It's a lot, man. Let's talk about the other side of this. What do you dislike about, as far as producing mature content is concerned?
I think the like basically what we've just talked about is more like the negativity that you see about it. So I haven't encountered any in real life, like face to face with anyone, but the stigma around it is still hard. I do find that quite difficult. And the fact that I like can't just talk about it openly, like most of my family know what I do. And they've all been very supportive. And most of them be like, oh, I wish I could do something like that. I wish I was brave enough. And I'm like, well, it's kind of it's pretty straightforward. But maybe that's easy for me to say. But yeah, so I find just the general negativity around it kind of online, and you see people like in like it'll be in the news about like an OnlyFans girl like headline, and then all the comments are just like so hateful, and I'm like, why? Like even if you don't agree with it, it's not like you say it's not hurting anyone, like it's not legal, just scroll on. Like let people live. It really bothers me that part.
I think a lot of it comes from like people are angered that you can make money from something that seems quite basic on face value. Like, people look at it and they're like, oh, all you do is, post naked photos or naked videos or whatever. And like, but as we've outlined already, it's not just that. Like, if it were just that, that would be quite a feat to be able to achieve that. And then you're like, okay, I sold a few photos, I made millions. All right, great. I retire and I live in
Yeah,
the,
I'm done now.
like, come on, like, that's just not how it works. I mean, like, the fact that you made it a career and you've been doing it for years, I think says a lot about the ability to live with this as a form of income. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's, I've always looked at it like, hey, go get your money, man. Like, you just, like, why yeah. not? Like, it's yeah. I right now in my life, I'm trying to make money from so many different avenues, and mm-hmm. it's not working out, and it's hard times. Mm-hmm. But I know that, like, even if just one thing takes off and it does really well, mm-hmm. you're secure in your future.
Yeah,
that's the way I look at it, and like that's probably, I imagine the way you look at it. It's like, what? Look, I'm doing what I like. And it's doing well, and I'm securing the future for my husband and my kids. And mm-hmm. in 20 years from now, I can look back and say, like, that was worth my time. That was a good investment. That was
yeah.
good business.
Yeah, I think because basically with my job and the way it is. So when I first started, James was working full time. He wasn't working 60 hours anymore. He was working like 40 hour full time job. And then I started this in the August, and then by the October, James actually quit his job, and he had a year off. Basically, it was in COVID, and his job was really stressful. He was like an office manager, but working remotely, and everyone is obviously really struggling because they're on lockdown, and he was trying to like manage all of his stuff. He was just having a really crap time. And I said to him that if he just takes a month off, I said, I'm earning enough. Just take a month off, like quit for a month. And then in a month's time, look for more work. And then, yeah, he just had a year off. And then after a year, he started to get a little bit like restless, a bit bored.
Yeah.
So he was like, I'm going to go and work part time. So that was about 2 years ago, I think. So he's been working 20 hours a week. And I work like flexible hours. But what it's afforded us is for us both to have so much more time with our kids.
Yeah.
So rather than him having to work full time, and I was working 12 to 18 hours a week in a cafe. And so with that, like, he didn't see the kids very much, really. You know, it was kind of get home from work. Well, in COVID, he was at home all the time, but you know what I mean. Put the kids to bed and then a bit of time on the weekend. But like, for this job, and he now works 20 hours a week, but he works 11 till 4, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Yeah, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So he has all day Tuesday, he has every weekend, the mornings, and he's like there for dinner. And it's like, that's kind of even more than the money and how much I earn, because I could earn a lot more. I could work a lot more hours. Some of these OnlyFans creators that are like the top girls, they earn, I think some of them earn like 100 grand a month at least. And they, but you see them and they are workaholics. They work all the time. And I'm not willing to make that sacrifice. I want to spend, and that's what this job does for me, is it gives me enough money so that me and James can both work minimal and have all our time with our kids, because they're home educated as well. So yeah, it's just like we have this amazing family unit, and that's the best part about it.
No, I'm so happy to hear you say that, man. It just makes my heart warm. Right, a couple of final questions for you, completely unrelated to today's topic, but I ask every guest. Okay. It's always fun. What's the biggest mistake that you've made that you've learned a valuable life lesson from?
So I find this really difficult, but I'm going to go really not deep, but say that I think privately renting was one of the worst mistakes I ever made.
Okay.
And that I wish that at the beginning I'd not gone into private renting and put more aside and got on the property ladder.
Interesting. Because it was just a waste of money, or was
I can't get out of it now. I can't get a mortgage now because you pay so much in your rent. I can't put money aside to save for a mortgage, and I kind of feel like if I'd have done that from the beginning, or had a different setup in the beginning, that financially for the rest of my life I would be in a much better place. Like, I'd feel much more stable, if you know what I mean. But I don't really know, like, I've learned from it, but there's not much I can do to change it.
There's still time. There's still time, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be all right. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, best advice. I think It's got to be the classic, like, living in the moment. And, like, I think that's how I feel, like, relating to what I was saying about me and James working minimal hours and stuff. And, like, we just really focus on the kids and the family life. And I think that's what a lot of people say. And they're like, you know, it goes so fast, and make sure you really, like, treasure what you've got. So, and we always say all the time, and this is related to the mortgage actually, but we say, you know, we'll have time once the kids grow up to make money. Do you know what I mean? But we don't want to use their childhood. Like, we could probably save for a mortgage now, but the kids wouldn't have any clubs. They wouldn't do any, we'd have no holidays. We'd have no days out. And I'm like, I'm not going to give up their childhoods so that we can live in a nicer house or whatever. Like, they're comfortable. And once they've grown up, we can have the money to do all those things. So I think, something along the lines of living in the moment and focusing on now, and, you know, you'll have time later. And if you don't, then at least what you had was good. If you know what I mean, like, happy.
Could not agree more. What's the biggest life lesson you've learned so far?
Life lesson. I think for me, I saw the kind of, it's on the same track, you know what I mean? I kind of like living, a lot of my family call me a hippie. Yeah. And I don't think I am, I would be more if I could break away a little bit more from the rat race, but it's like, yeah, just living a bit more free and doing things that you like and don't worry about what anybody else thinks. Like you said, as long as you're not hurting anyone, as long as you're not breaking any laws, just kind of, I think trying to live to please other people is just wrong. Unless it's like within your own unit, but then you're kind of communicating and compromising and living with each other. But yeah, you shouldn't live your life to please your neighbor, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Final question, do you have any upcoming projects or final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't really have any upcoming projects. It's always the same stuff. It has been for the last 4 years. I'm trying to get into ASMR, so if there's any listeners that like a bit of ASMR, I'm pushing that at the moment. But no, I don't have any upcoming projects. And yeah, I think we've covered most of it, you know, just trying to break the stigma.
Absolutely. And I just want to say a massive thank you for coming on the show and talking about all of this. I think it's really fascinating to kind of get a glimpse into what it's actually like and to kind of explore all parts, you know, because like I said at the beginning, I've seen about a million different podcasts with their podcast clips that are like asking about, oh, what fetish do you like? Oh, like, you know, there's a place for that. I know it can be entertaining somewhat, but like, I never see people just talking about the day to day, like what it actually looks like as a career. I'd never seen that. So I wanted to do that.
It's always about the, I guess the clickbait stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to put a good interview show together. That's my goal. And I think we've achieved that today. So thank you so much, Charlotte. Absolute pleasure having you on the show. And I wish you the best for the future with the content, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
And to the listeners of the Christian Reeve podcast, if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to leave us a rating or a review. So if you're on YouTube, leave us a comment, like, share, and subscribe. Share the podcast around the world on your stories on Instagram or with your friends. You know, go listen to it in the car or at church or I don't know, wherever. Maybe don't listen to this one in the church, but yeah. But like wherever you feel comfortable, you know. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts, leave us a review, a rating. It really, really helps us out because it shows people that the show is worth listening to. You know, I mean, what better comments than yours? You know, it's easy for me to say it's a good show, but if people see you guys saying that it's a good show, then it goes that much further. Now, if you want to support the show and everything that I do, make sure to subscribe on Patreon. Patreon.com/Christian Reeve gets you exclusive access to monthly shows, like bonus content, behind the scenes content, something for everyone, I think. Go check it out. And most importantly, as always, Be safe, be well, and I'll see you in the next one.